There is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality.
Something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Let's get back to our scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo and lo, they were very dry. This is an attempt by this person to paint a picture in case you are in doubt exactly of what is happening here. Because had it been, we stopped in verse 1, what we had there is a valley of bones. But by the time we came to verse 2, we found out that it's a valley full of dry bones. Say after me, dry bones. I didn't hear you. Say after me, dry bones. Say after me, dry bones. One of the things you will understand immediately from this scripture is that, first of all, by the time we get down to the verses down, the scripture made us to understand that this scenario you are seeing, this prophetic picture that is painted, is the house of Israel. Am I correct? It's in verse, verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord, behold, O my people. I think there is a place. Verse what? Correct. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of what? Israel. So the person, the prophet here, okay, God, through the prophet, is already saying that even though we are talking about dry bones, that I'm talking about the house of Israel. So there are two ways to look at this scripture immediately. You have to look at it first, literally, and in the second context, you have to consider the fact that the scripture, through the prophet, is painting a prophetic metaphor. It's painting the picture of a prophetic metaphor by presenting the children of Israel as in their state. Their present state can be likened, first of all, to a valley. Every single thing that, and I think that's my job this morning, I want to paint a picture. I want to extract one or two things from this scenario and then we examine it. Now, that is a picture. We can check and consider the fact that as of the time that Ezekiel is ministering, because Ezekiel is a prophet of captivity. Amen? Ezekiel is a prophet, by prophet of captivity, I mean a prophet in captivity. In fact, when his prophetic ministry started was when he went on exile. He said, I was at the river Kabar. This is within the Babylonian Empire. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In fact, according to, if you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Pay attention. If I have time, we'll just go through this word for like a few moments so that when the fire comes. So he is trying to, God is using him. God is teaching something by his life. And then through his life, he's also painting a picture through the children of Israel. So there are two sets of people that you need to consider. So in my teaching, I will show you here. What I have here, this is what I said. Amen? Okay, so there is a picture that is being painted here. And there are a few ways to consider what is happening. So I want us to take it step by step. First of all, God is preaching a message through the life of the prophet. Then the prophet is also, by his message, preaching another message through what he is painting as concerning the children of Israel. So there are two levels of message. What concerns you as an individual, as a prophet in the hand of God, and what concerns the people that you are sent to. In this scenario now, there are two levels. There are two levels of prophetic engagement. What is happening to the prophet and what is happening to the prophet to the people? Because it seems as if God did not totally exempt the prophet from what is happening. The prophet has to find himself in captivity so that he can prophesy. That means that that aspect of his calling. If at all, I'm not sure that Ezekiel actually manifested his prophetic calling until he found himself in captivity. Then, according as the scripture said, they were at the river Kabah, and the hand of God came, boom, and the people that were with him fell, but they didn't hear anything. They didn't have any encounter. So even though things, they saw that something is happening, they ran away, but him, he knew that something was happening, and his encounter began. How God chose never of a man's calling that will never be opened until he finds himself in a tight spot, in such a situation that it will bring out an aspect of you that will never ever be revealed. There are the kinds of prayer that you will never ever pray until something happened to you. Then you pray with all your heart. Some people have read fervent prayer before, and they actually thought that they have prayed fervently. There are people that actually thought they have prayed fervently. Amen. Amen. I'm not hearing you. Amen. Amen. Until they appeared in an environment, maybe an environment like this. When they appeared in an environment like this, they now ask and say, have I actually been praying? What have I been doing with my life? Meanwhile, where you are coming from, you have answered the man of prayer. They called you prayer machine. They gave you names. And then you appeared in an environment like this. And you tried. 30 minutes later, maybe it's Dennis that was leading opening prayer. They are calling you, bro, you are not praying, bro. But people know you as a prayer machine. Suddenly, you realize that there is a teaching going on. Oh, ye prophet, you are too weak to carry the calling. Even prayer, you have not mastered it. You say you are a revivalist, you have not mastered prayer. What do you know? That's the beginning. That's the foundation. It's when you pray, then God begins to move. Then when God begins to move, we now find out ways to respond to the move that God by himself has initiated. So God took Ezekiel and put him in captivity. Probably he had that in his ordination, but God did not allow it to manifest until the day that he found himself in straight paths. Situations that he could not explain. Maybe he lost his job. And then when he started seeking God. Now, there is a reason why a man can come, but there is a reason why God is wooing that man. It will mean that the things that is surrounding the person's life is not the reason. Those things that came as tough circumstances, the things you cannot explain in themselves, they are not the reason why God is wooing you. They are challenges. Challenges that quicken you to the place where God can begin to show you things about your destiny that is beyond your imagination. The things in your destiny that you never knew were there. Things in your calling that you never knew were there. Probably this man was a prophet and never knew that he was a prophet until he found himself in captivity and then began to seek God. Began to seek God. In his seeking God, a dimension of his calling now opened. Something that wouldn't have opened if they didn't go to captivity. If certain things did not happen to him. Maybe you became sick and began to seek God for your healing. And then in seeking God, something happened
Something happened to you. You stumbled on God.
I read a story, and I know many of us have read that story about Kenny Hagin. He was dead. He was sick and was dying. It was when he was praying on his deathbed that Jesus encountered him. Now, of course, sickness is a bad thing and is from the devil. But in this scenario, it was sickness that gave us that giant. Listen to me, sister. If you need to lose your fiancé and then we get a prophetic intercessor, that's not a bad thing. If a man of God needs his heart to be broken by the lady that he needs to marry so that he can seek God, he will now go to the mountain for 7 days to find out why he did not marry whom God told him to marry. On that mountain, God now said, I have caught you finally. I've been telling you to do 7 days dry fasting. You refuse. But now you are here. I'm going to give you a damsel. But first of all, let's discuss your calling. Let's discuss your... I want to make you a prophet. But that girl has never allowed me to reach you. All the time she will block. All the time she will block. You love the girl and forsook me. I say it can be as bad as loving ministry. Reduce a little. You can love ministry and forsake God. There are certain... See, real ministry is an overflow of what a man has with God in the secret place. So many times God can be wooing you deeper into the secret place, but because of the fact that you are too busy with ministry, and even too busy, not bad ministry, too busy with genuine ministry activities, you have not gotten to see God in such a way, not just by longevity of time, by the settlement of heart. You can be too... Listen to me, let me tell you something about waiting on God. Waiting on God is two things. One, the real waiting of the time that is going. And the second part of waiting is that David said, be still, O my soul. That means there is a noise in the soul of a man that God will never get to start doing business with that man until that noise goes down. And however long it takes, you can actually fast for 3 days and the noise is still there. So what God gets to kill is that noise. Many times a man that appears before God is in a hurry for God to do something and has not cared to consider the fact that there is still a noise. And as long as God has not killed that noise, he can wait. He can wait for 1 year, 2 years, even 10 years to kill one noise. Oh, because that noise cannot go in sync. It can't be going side by side with the voice of God that wants to come as a commissioning for your life, as the basis of the vision, as the basis of the next level that God has committed to you. So many times he will try to woo you into the secret place where there is no noise in your soul. Where the only thing that is consistent in your heart is what God wants to commit to you, to your generation. Many times when you even come to the place of prayer, there are too many prayer requests that God cannot get you to even pray his own prayer. Too many prayer requests. Too many of them that you think is too important. You that God wants to raise as a voice, you have to... That's the first thing prayer achieves. What prayer does is that you pray till it brings you to the point of prayer. It brings you to the point where prayer starts. At that place, God by himself will give you his own prayer point. I don't know how long it lasts, because it comes like a burden. And sometimes burden can last for weeks, for months, and for years. Until that burden is being dealt with, there is nothing God is working for. Even if everybody is saying, hey, you have done this for long, God is not moved. One of the things I need to tell you in this conference is for you to understand who you are dealing with. Say after me, I am dealing with a God that is eternal. I didn't hear you. Let's say it together. It is both in the sense of nature and in the sense of longevity. It means that, Pastor King, if 10 years passed, let's assume you have done ministry for 20 years or 25 or 30. For God, it looks like nothing. That is why when God speaks to us, we quickly run and obey. Because the things he remembers about us is not what we did in the days that he is not aware. It is those activities that is captured within obedience that he remembers. Those ones we are doing it
filled with, including spiritual things, they don't matter, and he's not moved. If he puts his hand and starts calling you and you didn't obey him the way he wants, it's just a matter of time. You will just notice that he has started calling your neighbor or calling your son. He will still leave you there because he doesn't like frustrating people that has already started working with him. So he will just be giving you, you know, small encouragement and small pennies. But the main thing has a requirement and it doesn't change. God will get you to the place where every of your prayer that is yourself's ambition pursuit dies. And the noise of your soul gets quiet. The soul is very noisy. Very, very noisy. Be still, oh my soul. Sometimes you need a business failure for you to get to the place of be still, where God will begin to work out his agenda in your life. Sometimes ministry frustration can get you there. Sometimes a need is enough. Sometimes a health issue is enough to get you to that place. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. There are people that never plan to be in this scenario. It's just that demons are pursuing them. Meanwhile, by God's ordination, they are supposed to pursue demons. In their pursuit of what it will take them to conquer their problem, what they just noticed is that suddenly, the things that used to pursue them became what they are pursuing. That is what God originally wanted to make them into. But they are too busy. So after me, Jesus, I won't be too busy for you. Are the people in this hall hearing me? So after me, Jesus, I will not be too busy for you. But that is what is happening here. So, the setting of a prophetic environment is my teaching topic this morning. One of the things I noticed, that is me, from the study of the scripture, I noticed that God is very meticulous. In fact, I have a teaching that I called the seven laws of recovery. And when God began to take me through the scripture, I found out that the first thing he recovers is his patterns. That means, you remember when God spoke to Moses, he said that there, by revelatory powers, I'm bringing you into the economy of the way I do things. He said, do this. He said, make sure that you build according to what? Patterns. That means the man that builds for God is not the man that wants to build. The man that builds is not the man that have the resources to build. The man that builds is the man with what? The patterns. So many times, the challenge with subsequent generations and people that want God to move in their life and move through their life is that the patterns of God has been lost. That was the challenge in the days of David. When he desired to bring the ark, as a king, he had the resource and he had the desire. You cannot question David's desire. Can you question his heart? You can't question it. You can't question his desire. But the patterns were wrong. In his days, it was by cart that the ark was carried. That was not God's purpose. Now, I believe that David did not use that cart by his choice. The last time he heard that the ark was moved, it was the Philistines that brought it back. And when they were bringing it back, they brought it back by what? A cart. So the last information we had about the patterns of God as it pertains to the carriage of the ark is to put it on principles of men, on the ways of men. The cart is man's manufacture, is man's means, is man's system. But God desires, as much as those things are there, he said, my desire is that my ark be carried on the shoulders of men. But men, the priesthood that should be custodians of the patterns of God, has lost the ways. And because of it, nobody knew what to do. So David did the best that he knew. As they were carrying the ark, you know the story. As they were moving, the ark wanted to fall. And an innocent man, if you ask me, that didn't do anything, wanted to put his hand and help God. And then God killed him there. If you ask me, Victor, is God fair? That is how much God is willing to go to recover his patterns. Instead of God not to recover his pattern, he can allow the work that you started for 5 years to go down so that he can recover his pattern. I'm telling you, if God set you on a pattern and the day you encountered him, he told you, do it like this and do it like this. But along the line, you saw many things and then you shifted. You know, sometimes some things can be added, but he can't put you out of pattern. But you added till he moved out of, and you are still sincerely following God, loving him. There are some things that will die as a result of the fact that the patterns of God are lost. So that's the first thing that God recovers. So as soon as that man died, David cried and began to sacrifice. That's when they made the research that they would have made from the beginning, that there are patterns that they needed to search out as the beginning of their walk with God. How does God do this? How does he do it? So when I searched my scripture, I found out that God does not engage anything without first revealing how it is done. It is only man that appears. You know, you can see a man like this and say, hey, an anointed man. In the spirit, there is literally nothing like what we call anointed men and what people call them anointed. What we have is lamps. What we have is strange things in the spirit. It is possible that if we see you as God is seeing you in the spirit, we might not see a man. Are you getting what I'm saying? So for some people, they can be pillars in the spirit, like pillar. For some people, they can be rock. They are calling you Peter, but your name is what? As long as you do not by yourself and people do not identify you with that frame that God has formed from the spirit, it is an effort in futility. Are you following me now? So if you look at this, I found out that God, before he acts, he sets things properly in motion. So this is a prophetic environment, but it became a prophetic environment because of the things that God set in order. Without those things, we cannot be able to. It is not prophetic environment just because he said, hey, let's have prayer and prophetic conference. No, it is a prophetic environment because of the settings. The settings. There is an architecture. There is a setting. There is a download. There are things that God put in place so that certain things will become possible. And I studied this place in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. And I found out that the settings here is divided into two. From my notes here, I called it that the setting of a prophetic environment requires two kinds of participation. Number one participation is the personnel participation. Number two is the infrastructural participation. Personnel, not personal, personnel. Personnel, I mean by persons. You notice here that in this prophetic environment, there are two kinds of things you will notice. Either you see persons or you see infrastructures. One thing you will notice about God is that he has infrastructures that enables his possibilities. Hey, do you know why God told Moses to make sure he builds according to pattern? One of the reasons is this. His intention is to invade this realm. And not just to invade, through his means of invasion, to colonize. Now, this is it. Who is a programmer here? Is there a pastor that has ever programmed before? Only Bible. Okay. Is there a choir member that has ever programmed before? Okay, aha, you are a programmer. Now, if you are writing a program with C sharp, I know those ones might be outdated. Or maybe Java. And then after writing the program, there is a place you are supposed to add a plus sign. Just a plus sign, one plus sign. And then you did not add it. And then impute the program. Will you get the result? Just one plus sign is enough. That means one plus sign missed is enough to stop God from invading this realm the way he wants. You see the way he told Moses, make sure you build according to pattern. If you don't do that way, even if I want to come, there are certain things on the way that will not allow me to invade. So the first question a man asks himself when he comes into a prophetic environment is my prophetic settings correct? Have I set things in order in such a way that I'm expecting God to invade it? Is my settings correct? So we notice from here that there are personnel settings and there are infrastructural settings. You check the scripture here, you find out that the first setting here, the personnel setting here, the first is the Son of Man, the prophet. That was where I was going to. Everything rises and falls on the Son of Man, the prophet. I know you can say God. If you are here with me, say amen. If you are with me, say amen. This man that is called the Son of Man, I want you to remove his name and put your name there. Anywhere you see Ezekiel, you are actually that man that God is looking for. You are that prophet. Ezekiel has lived and died victim. You are that prophet. But I know you. You are too inconsistent for you to even come to the place where God can use you. I don't know others, but me, I know you. You like this. You. You say, Lord, you say, Apostle, I will come and die. You are still alive. He's still alive. I know Victor. Look at me. Huh? I know you. He cried, Apostle, I'm coming to sort out my life. If I come for these 50 days, I will never go. 50 days finished, I didn't see you. He said, Apostle, I mean it now. Sometimes I wake up in the night to pray and I will see 17 messages. I say, who did I offend? It's Victor. It's Victor that I offended. I look at him. I search in the spirit. I say, this man is still not serious. God has not found his prophet yet. He has not gotten you to the place where he has broken you. You have not encountered the things that make a man's eye single. If God places a demand on your life, you will not be able to bear it yet. Because your eye is not single. He has not broken you. The things that you talk about, there are many. Meanwhile, your problem is not many, it's one. We need to create a prophetic environment around your life that have the ability to bring Satan down. I checked. Victor will tell me the stories from his great-grandfather. Great-great-grandfather. And say, nobody has reason that has done. I'll be looking at Victor. Victor, what you need is a prophetic environment. What you need is a setting. Stop exalting Satan. Find a path to the wisdom of God by priesthood and download things and set it in place. Put the structures in place and begin to cook it. Cook it. Who is that Satan? How long has he lived? Even the creator that we carry created that one that is disturbing you. Just obey God first. Obey him. Tell your neighbor, obey God. Satan is not that strong. What is it? I told Victor, your problem. This story is much. Your problem. I'll finish telling Victor. I will go back. I thought he heard me. 2 weeks later, when they attack him in the night, he will send me a message and say, Apostle, I hope you are still praying for me, Apostle. I need to connect to this altar. The fire need to burn and burn my family. Apostle, there are things buried in my family. The water in my village. The water, is it stronger than the blood of Jesus? Victor, there is no prophetic setting. God can't speak now. It's in vain you are seeking the voice of God where he has not set things in place to speak. Oh, you think the voice of God just comes. You don't know what is the voice of God. If I have time, I will show you. In the infrastructures that make up a prophetic setting, one of the pillars is the voice. The word of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel came out with. When a man has entered the place where things are being set in place, he comes out with the word of the Lord. By the time he comes out, he says, "Thus said the Lord." Somebody like Elijah, he said, "There will be no rain, there will be no dew for 3.5 years. You like what Elijah said? I know you want to be like Elijah. I know, I have seen you. You like it, the way you are praying. But I search your heart. You are in a hurry. Elijah, before he spoke one word, Elijah tarried. He stayed there, set his environment correct. His coordinates in the spirit, they are guided by the wisdom from heaven. Satan has tried by any means, all means, to decipher the oppression of God that is in his life. He lacked the wisdom, because the oppression of God is beyond the principalities and powers. The wisdom coming is from the third heaven. Even the powers of the heaven operate lower than it. That is how Jesus operated on this earth. Such that the scripture said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, if the princes of this world knew, that means the plane that we operated in is beyond the wisdom of the princes of this world. That's what God brings you into in a prophetic environment. Suddenly a weak lady will receive something in her that is a weapon in the spirit. Your voice that used to be normal, suddenly you wake up in the night and you say, papa, 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 papa. And somebody will say, who is shooting gun? Oh? We never knew that prayer is bullet. Listen to me. And you kept going, and they are setting it. You kept going, and they are setting it. You kept going. We are still waiting for the day when the word of the Lord will come. Suddenly, one day you pray, and in the night, you notice that you have a weapon. Where did it come from? Who gave you a weapon? That is when you will notice that same prayer you'll be praying, and then you'll be feeling weak and getting tired. Suddenly you pray, you see yourself fly and ascend in the spirit. And the demons that used to pursue you will be on the ground. You will now know that your problem is not the demons. You need to ascend. Something is stirring in this environment. There are things cooking. There are angels littered. One of the things that need to happen to you is that your eyes need to open. You cannot be in a prophetic environment and be blind. Your eyes need to see. You need to see things. Your eyes need to open. They need to touch your eyes. They need to do a search. They need to give you goggles. They need to bring you to the place where you are with goggles. Visions of God are upon your tabernacle. The voice of God and your ears, your tongue are loosed, and the word of God is in your lips. And when you utter it, listen to me. That was the setting that was going on. Did you know, as I said, that Ezekiel was in captivity? Victor, you are not hearing me. Ezekiel was in captivity. Are you worse than him? How is it that is in the place of captivity that God is telling him about a calling? It was in the place of captivity that God spoke, that visions came, that the glory fell in the place of captivity. Suddenly he was sucked in. There is a dimension in you. You have not seen it. Sucked in. Suddenly a voice came and said, son of man. I pray everyone here will hear that voice. He said, summon to the realms. When a man hears, son of man, then it's time to begin to ascend. It is the summons of the heavenlies. Son of man. Say after me, I must hear my name in this conference. You must say the summons, the callings. Can you hear them? They are calling men. They are wooing. Can you hear? I can hear my name. I can hear. I can hear you sounding from afar. I can hear. Can you hear your name? It's an error. Nothing happens until a man hears his name. It's like a wooing, a beckoning. It's like a wooing, a beckoning. A summon to heights. The place you are is not where we can do that business. That is a summoning. You need to come up here. That's where you will hear a voice. A voice calling. It's calling. Maybe you are John. The voice is saying, John, come, John. John, Deborah, come.
You are a warrior. Stop staying on the ground. Oh my God. He said, Pastor, come. Where you are is good, but that's not where we are going. Come, come. It's a voice. Once a man hears, his life changes. I want to hear. Sing to my ears, oh angels. Sing to my ears. Call my name. Woo. Call my name. Call my name. Call my name. I will hear. Call, call. Call my name. Let there be a meeting in heaven. Let them decide to call my name. Even this day. Call my name. Call my name. Can you hear your name? You need to pray now. Lord, I won't leave you. You need to summon me. You need to call my name. It's been long when I heard my name last. I've not heard my name in a long while. I need a summon. I need a summon. The Bible said no man can come except the Lord calls him. Except the Lord woos. Find me, oh find me, Lord. Find me, oh find me, Lord. Find me, and make me, oh God. Find me, oh find me, Lord. Find me, oh find me, Lord. Find me, and make me, oh God. Find me, oh find me, Lord. Find me, oh, find me, Lord. Find me, I'm glorious. Oh, I lay down. Find me, oh find me.
Find me, oh find me, Lord.
Something is happening here now.
Oh find me, Lord.
Make sure you are praying. Something is happening. I see summons. God is calling men now. He's waiting. He's calling.
Oh, find me,
oh. Make sure you hear your name. There is a calling. There is a meeting in heaven. God is calling men. He's waiting. Oh my God. Hear your name. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
I lay down all of my skills.
Hey, what is wrong with my voice?
I lay down all that I know. Oh, feel me till all the flows from this. Yes.
Find me and make me true, oh God.
If you don't find me, I won't go. You must call my name. Call my name. Hey. 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 You can't leave without a call. You must say your name. You must say it. They must summon you from the heavens. The voice of God need to thunder. Come in, come in, come in, come in. Oh, oh, oh. You are a papo, you are a guy. Take a guy, 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 in Jesus' name. You can be seated if you can. Hear my name. Can you hear your name? Can you hear it? Mama. Can you hear it? No man can come except the Lord calls him. We can't force ourselves there. It's only God that can summon a man. Summon me. I need to ascend. I need to climb. I need to ascend. I need to ascend. Once they call you, they give you a ladder. Anytime a man hears his voice, The next thing that appears, what? Is a ladder of ascension. Call me, call me, call me. Something is happening here. That's what we are saying. There is an environment created around you. You need to pipe in. You need to plug in. You need to, oh my God. You can't stay like that and things are happening. You need to cry, Lord, me too, me too. Don't leave me. Don't leave me like this. No, Jesus. Don't leave me. Jesus. Don't leave me. Don't leave me like this, Jesus. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Oh my God. Call me, 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 call me. Don't leave me, don't leave me. Oh my God. Call me. When you become serious, they will know. They will call you. Oh my God. Focus, 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 focus. Cry, focus. Let your eye be single. When you cry, let your eye be single. One thing in your heart. Summon me, come. I want to hear my name. If I don't hear, I won't stop. Jesus, a blessing. You can be seated. God is not first looking for things. He's looking for us. He's looking for us. There is a deluge coming. In the visions of God, I see a season that our eyes have never imagined. I saw it. My soul has been captivated. My days are invested in it. I saw it. Heaven bear me witness, I saw.
As you're choosing men in Africa, choosing men in Europe, Lord, remember me. As you're choosing men in Nigeria, choosing men everywhere, Jesus, oh, remember me. So Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me.
Remember me.
Remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, oh, remember me. Remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David. Chetamo,
oh,
Abba Chetamo. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Hey. Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Remember me. Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh,
is he that you have forgotten me?
Remember, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Remember me.
In Jesus. You can be seated. The Lord needs to find his man. Nothing happens. Chinda. God needs to find you. That's why your ears need to be open when the voice of God thunders. We can't do nothing on our own accord, but the voice of God, the voice of God, the voice of God have the ability to summon a man. There are heights in God we cannot have. We can't get there. The possibilities we seek is there. The nations we shake. But will you hear the voice? Will you hear the summon? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Say summon. Say summon. Say summon. Say summon. Say summon. Say summon. Find his man. I know we have answered the call before, men of God. But sir, you know, there is something registering in your heart. It seems as if we are being summoned to come up here. That is a summon. We must answer it. What we can do, what God can do when he gets a man. Find me. Just find me is enough. Everything happens after he finds me. You can pursue God, but there is a point where he finds you. Jesus said, listen, you can be seated. Things are happening here. My God, my God, my God. You can be seated. Be seated. I want to show you a few things. One day I was in the afternoon. Suddenly I was in a trance and I saw a vision many years ago. You have heard me share this story. I saw a vision of a military cantonment. Nobody is weak there. This is your weakness. Where did it come from? They have not called your name yet. When they call you, you are sent. When you get there, you are clothed. Then suddenly your weakness will disappear. Yes, we have our humanity, but there is something stronger than our humanity. We have what we are naturally. I know myself. That's why I cannot do anything until. Son of man, can you hear your voice? Can you hear your voice? Can you hear this song? Son of man, son of man. My prayer is that there is nobody here, that there is a someone for him in the heavens that will not hear.
Son of Man. Can be seated, please. The second setting in this prophetic environment is what the scripture called here the Lord God. First, the man. Then, second, the Lord God. It seems that there must be a combination between divinity and humanity for anything to happen. You leave it to only God, nothing will happen. We leave it to man, it is even worse. It's not as if God cannot do something, but he has willed this thing away. In the books of God, he has ordained to use you, Tony. The two of you must collide, not once, many times. Many of you know what is fusion reaction. I think I've forgotten what it means. But there is something that I will explain to you. If I'm wrong, just correct. In a fusion reaction, there is a lot of collision. Not just once. You and the Holy Ghost, you and the Lord need to collide many times. The collision you had with him many years ago that set you on this path is obvious, it's no more enough. You need another, not just encounter, a head-on collision. Need to collide. The Lord God. The Lord God. All men gathered together trying to achieve something without God setting in is just like an effort in futility. The Lord God. It is the Lord God that calls a council and princes appear. And men are summoned to that council. His agenda is deliberated. The purposes in his heart is being discussed. Men will live there with blessings. Not the blessings of things, but the blessings of burdens. By the time you are coming out, you are not normal. Something is consuming your heart that you cannot explain. They will carry you, put you in prison in Cameroon. The only thing you are... They put my brother in prison in Cameroon. He was there smiling and laughing. They said that their anger is not that they put him in prison, is that he went there and he's doing as if they didn't do him anything. That all as they put him there, they are lying on the ground begging. Why does he need to beg? The burden brought him here. He's even happy that the burden is working. Had he been, they didn't arrest you, you'll be wondering whether this burden is working. The burden is working. God blesses men with burdens. One of the major proofs that you came from the council, that they met in heaven and a man was called and the man answered. When you see the man coming back, he's coming back with burdens. When you see him coming to the UK, back to the UK, he's coming back with hunger that cannot be satiated. How can you have that kind of hunger and be struggling to pray and in your secret place? How can that happen? The hunger can be so literal that it can infect every single person that is near you. You stop begging your members to do anything because the environment of your hunger is too contagious. It was a blessing. You received it. A blessing. God blessed you. When you were co-opted into the purposes of God, you were called into the council, they sent you back with blessings. And the blessing was not a new car. The blessing was a burden. Told my people, let's pray. Lord, densify your life, densify your hunger, densify it. Thank you for the hunger you gave to me. Thank you for the body. Can you press it? Many of you have eaten agege bread. You eating that bread that you can press, you press it, add another one, press it. Somebody seeing the one that is not pressed will be saying it's big until he sees where it is pressed. Wherever you are, lift up your hands. Say, Lord, bless me with hunger. Bless me with hunger. I'm not hearing you. Say, Lord, bless me with hunger. Bless me. Bless me. Put your burden in my heart. Say it. Say it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it for 30 seconds. Keep saying it. Put your burden in my heart.
put your burden in my heart. Put your burden in my heart. Don't pass me by. Remember me today. Let today be my day. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Remember David and his affliction. How he vowed unto his God that he will never give sleep to his eyes or slumber to his eyelids. That he will never go up to the chambers of his bed until he finds a resting place for the God of Jacob. We saw the ark in the woods in the Ephrata, but we have vowed we must find a place for you. Remember. Remember David. Remember David and his fastings, his watches, his afflictions, his tears in the secret. Does it mean you don't see our tears? Remember. Remember. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Jesus, Jesus, angels are moving everywhere, taking record, taking names. Don't leave me like this, Jesus. Don't leave me like this. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me, remember me. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, remember me. The third setting is an army of warriors. An army of warriors. Jesus Christ. A song I'm hearing, help me and sing it, even if it's three times. You will call unto me and I will come. I think it's your brother that sang it.
There's a place from the deep that my eyes cannot see. Is that a place can't conceive. Spirit back on me and I will come.
Correct.
Spirit call unto me and I will come.
There's a place in the deep where eyes cannot see. There's a place in the deep where minds can't conceive. Spirit back on me and I will come. Spirit call unto me and I will come. There's a place in the deep where eyes can't conceive. Spirit back on me and I will come.
Show me Songs of Solomon chapter 1. The Songs of Solomon, which is Solomon's. Verse 2, quickly please. Show me verse 4. If you are in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Just the keyboard. The scripture said here, draw me and we will run. So when God has a family in view, if he comes to that family, he will not draw everybody. He will find one man and summon the man up. In your belly is many people that cannot be counted. One man. He said, draw me and we. If you draw me, we. You know, after David sinned with Uriah's wife, he began to pray and ask God for forgiveness. We heard in the book of Samuel and all that David prayed and God forgave him and all that happened. But we didn't actually know what happened until we got to the book of, I think, Psalms chapter 51. Am I correct? That's when we saw the content of his prayer. And there is something significant in that prayer that he made. He said, Lord, if you will forgive me, if you will do this for me, he said, I will teach the congregation, the nations, your ways, your righteousness. I think part of the reason, if you ask me now, from that revelation, we wouldn't have understood part of the reason why God brought that economy of mercy and restored the man. It was when that man brought a people in view. He told him, Lord, if you cut me off, there are people that will not learn the lesson about what you taught me. He said, Lord, you have to restore me. If you restore me, I will teach people how not to follow this path, how not to make this mistake. Restore me, restore me. Lord, if you will bring me here, even if there is nothing I did, my life will be a teaching to people. Since I can't convince you by my righteousness, by my sacrifice, can I convince you with the fact that there is a people that want to learn your righteousness? That there is a people that will be cut off from the possibility of seeing your glory if you do not restore me? The scripture said, draw me, draw you, draw Chisholm, draw. If they draw you, a family will run after God. You draw one man, nations. You draw one man, a whole campus with thousands of people. An average campus has up to 10 to 20,000 people in it, if not more. They can run after one man. If God can draw you enough, just imagine you coming to the point where they divide your campus into four
and one quarter, we are drawn to God on your own accord, is enough reason to convince God. Is enough. He said, draw me. There is a people that is waiting for us. This one is even beyond spiritual. There are people that have seen you in the video. They have seen some of us in the video. And you told them that I'm going to this conference. I'm coming back. Me and you, we are discussing. You said, I'm here to drink. I'm here to drink. There are people coming to drink from the wine you drank. So if you didn't test anything, are you with me? You are not sure you are with me. If they are carrying the cup before you, and all they are doing, the cup is coming before you, they do you like this. And none of them ever entered your mouth. You just know God was moving. You just know things were happening. But none happened to you. Say, God forbid. You are not serious, so. Say it louder. There is such thing as God forbid. It's in the Bible. Like, this God forbid is not a Nigerian language. It's a biblical language. Paul used God forbid once or twice. So when you say God forbid, it's a good thing to say. Let's say it again. One, two, ready, go. God forbid. So the third personnel that we see in a prophetic setting, first, the son, the prophet that God wants to use. Second, there is the people who in this metaphorical context was first represented not as an army, but they were represented as dry bones. As we saw in verse 11, the scripture said, O Ezekiel, this dry bone you are seeing is the house of Israel. That's how they have descended. One day, there is a place when I was doing youth service at Assemblies of God and Sheke in Abeokuta, Ogun State. I agreed with the person I was working with in my PPA to be closing by. I know they might not allow it, but I use prayer and vent the thing. So once it's 11 a.m., they release me. In fact, we actually wrestled for it. He said he will report me to LGI. When we went to the LGI, I used prayer and came. Instead of him winning, I won. How did I win? Before now, I was teaching from morning to evening. When we went to the LGI, we found out that I don't know if it is still there, maybe it's from that state or whatever, that I'm not supposed to teach more than 16 hours per week. According to the bylaws, I'm not supposed to teach more than 16 hours. The man didn't know. He was binding me that I must come by 7. What I was begging him is to give me some few days, maybe one or two free, so that I can attend to my... That I'm not here. I'm a sent man. I'm not just here to come. And what am I doing with all this? Why am I losing myself? I needed to find myself, oh. Because I'll be writing lesson notes. It will be 4 a.m. in the morning, 4:30. I say, what is this? Is this what God called me to do? Then when I leave, I'll get to work by 7. That's how I continued. After 1 month, I said, it's either I find solution or I die. When we started deliberating on it, they said, if you don't do, they will give you extra year. I said, who is afraid of extra year? I've already started cooking. I said, okay. I started planning in my mind, if they add 3 months for me, okay, I will have time to. I started planning the kind of fast I will do. And the kind of. Satan didn't know when he knew I would do it. Oh, I've already done itself. Satan released me by force. Sometimes when you are released, it was not God that released you, it was Satan that released you. Because he's afraid the way you are going, if you continue, you will cause him harm. So he quickly made things easier for you. You don't know. If Satan fights you with hardship, it doesn't work. He will fight you with ease. Don't allow Satan to find out you like a soft bed. Everywhere you go, they will offer you a soft bed. Even if you come to this camp where everything is tight, somehow a soft bed will materialize. A soft bed. Maybe
Maybe it's because of you, because you like food too much. That's why we were moved to declare two food. I want to announce to you, for you, are you hearing me? For you, don't eat that two times. You just need to eat once. That is, it's not, it's contextual, it's subjective. Some people need it. Like the ushers need to eat so that, but you don't need it. Hey, Victor, you need to eat. You're not the one I'm talking. You have fasted enough. Jesus. You need to touch so that your mother will not come and arrest me and all that. You need to eat and add some things here. Are you getting the point? And all that. So, but there are some people, there are some young men. Huh? Are you not the one I saw across the road while I was coming that is already buying fichipo? Just God. I saw a brother. I know that brother. He's either he's from UNN or one of these campus. I saw a brother. I almost said, bro! The guy was buying fichipo like this. Make I not die. I checked my time to be sure. It was just about 9 a.m. And the guy is buying fichipo. In a camp like this. Where you what you need to do is to sit down in one seat and not leave till night. You don't know how to find God. You think to find God is easy. Stay there now. This God, 8 billion people looking for his attention. You carry fichipo and find him. You are joking. For a man to look, we don't even need to say 8 billion. We are look at these people here. Look at thousands of people here, and then you carry fichipo. Well, the God of fichipo can find you, but I don't know. I wept for that guy, and I know that guy is listening to me now. I wept for him. The fichipo. Tell your neighbor, drop fichipo and touch God. How can you come to the camp of God like this? A high mountain like this. It is 9. You are hustling for fichipo. You cannot convince me that it's not your foundation looking for you. You can't convince me. The powers from your mother's family, from your father's family, from your uncle's family, from all the families, they are the ones that came and took fichipo and gave you. You are holding it. Holding your destiny and eating it, and you thought you are eating fichipo. So after me, instead of food to collect my future, I will drop that food and touch God. Somebody say I'm against food. I'm not. There are times you know it. There are moments. It's not always. Be discerning. Come wake up in this camp and go and eat in the morning. The day use food and swear for you. How can you eat by edge? Not in your house, on this mountain. Somebody said, God forbid. This is a good place to say it. The way you need to behave, the people that are selling things, that place, need to be wondering whether these people eat or not. But they are expecting you. You are an answer to their prayer point. Their prayer point is stronger than your prayer point. Lord, help me to sell today. And by 8, you are going to buy fichipo. You that say you are a prayer person, your prayer is too shallow, too weak. Dig enter your heart. And somebody has said, I want to sell my fichipo. You bought one. Finish it. It was sweet. You bought second one. Finish second one. Bought the one you eat in the afternoon. The days were for you. On this mountain, what else will God do? How else will he say it? When we say these things, it looks like there is a burden that will come to your hand, Pastor. You will hate food, you will hate the fact that there is anything at all stopping you from moving forward. You look at food and say, you are my enemy. Since I was eating you, I have not turned to anything. From today, you are my enemy. You have not called food your enemy. Leave it. Look at your bed and swear, I will not. Is David that sworn? And he said, I won't climb. You people don't know how to find God. Oh, it's not today. The patriarchs, our fathers, found him in the woods. They kept searching. The man was moving inside. They kept searching. When Solomon built the temple, he told God, I noticed something. You have decided to dwell in thick darkness. But Oga, don't hide again. We have built you an ark, a house, a temple. He said, arise, arise. Arise unto your rest. Arise unto your resting place. Now go to Jacob. That's why we are here. We want to configure, reconfigure, mutilate, mutate, transfigure, transform, come to the point where we can carry him. That's it. And I'm not sure it's compatible with Fichipo by 9 a.m. If it's by 6 p.m. If I ask the guy now, he will say he's taking drug. That's another thing. Don't want to go there. Your body, temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of drugs. How, Victor, how? Is either your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or is the temple of drugs. Leave it. This is my headache. Yes, it's your own. My drugs. Yes, it's your own. That's what I heard that cured me finally in this life. I was on campus. I think 300 or 400 level. Reading a book by John G. Lake. First page, he said, how will you feel if you come to a drugstore and see Jesus buying his own drug? He said, don't you know that you are like Jesus that is walking on the earth, carrying the Holy Ghost as a believer fully, and then buying drugs? He said, your consecration is weak. That is a total violation of the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not just to sin, reduce a little. Not just to sin, but to fill your life with drugs, your body. He said, you have polluted your body. I said, I don't understand. I don't understand. I thought it's only sin that pollute the body. Now, I'm not saying you should go and do this. So that's not what. If you have your drug, be taking your drug, be taking it. Be taking it. Be taking it until you get well and all that. But if God speaks, we also hear and know that this one now, they are talking to me. There are moments like that. One person or two. I took my drugs. I said, why am I taking drugs every 2 weeks? What angered me the most is that I'm forming a holiness man of God. But the man said, you are polluted. I say, how? He said, temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of Jesus. That don't you know that Jesus is inside you looking out? That when you went to the drugstore to go and buy drugs, that is Jesus that is buying drugs. I said, God forbid, I can't buy this drug. The reason why I stopped is not because of what he said was powerful, but I wanted to maintain my holiness. I needed to maintain my holiness so much that I stumbled into health. I said, Lord, if this is true, I need to enter into it. That's how. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Number four personnel. The angelic host. There is a reason why God is called the Lord God of hosts. Say after me, God doesn't move alone. Tony, you will never meet God when he's trekking alone. I can trek alone. You can trek alone. God doesn't trek alone. He never moves alone. In fact, he has an advance party that will move ahead of him. They will cause so much commotion, you will think it's God that came. Meanwhile, God has not even appeared. Go and ask Elijah on that mountain. He said, fire came. It was advance party. The lightning came. It was still nothing. It was advanced party. The earthquake came. It was still nothing. It was advanced party. Until when it got to a point, the main man came. Said it was a still small voice. He never comes alone. When I found this out, initially I don't pray this prayer. I was just praying one kind of prayer. I was just praying, Lord, give me you is enough. Give me your presence is enough. And all that. I asked myself a question. the God that I'm asking to give me him has people that is always with him. The host, the Lord God of hosts. That's almost one of the highest dimensions of God you can invoke. That's what David invoked, and he was able to strike down Goliath. The Lord God of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. Without the angelic host, several things is not possible. Because as you are a pastor, if you are in alignment in the spirit, there is your angelic dimension. He comes and mirrors you. That was what Joshua and that man that came with his sword drawn is supposed to mirror. Joshua standing on the human dimension. He said he is leading a captain. There is a host with him. And then Joshua too has a host. The way Joshua spoke, he said, "Who are you? Are you for us?" The guy said, "Ah, I'm not for anybody. I'm for God. They just summoned me on the scene. But it seems as if you are a partner." So they shook hands and said, "Let's go together." It's terrible if a man stays in this kind of environment and not stumble on angels. If you don't stumble on angels that walk with others, why not your own? Kenneth Hagin said he did ministry for long until he found out that God sent an angel to help him prosper in ministry. He never knew. Until his eyes opened to see that angel, he kept suffering financially. I'm telling you. You see this, my ministry. My ministry changed many years ago when I was doing youth service. I had an encounter with an angel. Till today, that angel works with me. Till today. Many times, a few people has had encounter and seen that angel. One day, we were in my house, my uncle's house, when I was living in my uncle's house. And me and Gochuku and taking Justice, were you around that time? And Justice, I think one other guy. We finished praying in the night. And I wanted to rest as I was resting. It was Gochuku that was telling me in the morning. He said, an angel appeared. And he saw that angel, very tall and mighty. He just stood and stayed in the parlor. He was not saying anything. Gochuku came like a lion and commanded him to tell him his name. He said the man did not say anything. He just noticed that he started becoming weak and afraid. Him, he was commanding an angel and headache came and he was becoming weak and afraid. Fell down and fell out of that vision. But I know that man. I was with a guy, I think 2016. One of the sessions of our Lagos. I used to hold prayer meetings in cities. Lagos prayer meetings. Went to Lagos that time. What we do is that come the first day, first night, stretch it from 9 to daybreak around 4. Then come in the day, stretch it again for another 10 hours or so. Hit it. So one of those days, I met a brother. Stayed with me in the room. He said as soon as I stood and raised my hand to touch him, that a very tall man appeared. He is dark in complexion, if that is possible. That's how a man's ministry starts. Moses said, "You have sent me. You have not told me who you have sent with me." He said, "My angel." There are three things you need: the glory, the presence, and the angel. Don't miss anyone. Don't say, "You are giving me the presence. Don't give me the angel." No. God kept making reference to that angel. Till the day of Daniel, he was still making reference to that angel. He said, "Michael, the great prince, this one he sent to you." In some places in the scripture, that reference of the pillar of fire is also likened to an angel. That pillar of cloud is also likened to an angel. Certain things will never happen until we encounter the angelic host. That's how it happens. The plane where the angelic host meets the human army of God, that plane is called Mahaneh. It's the place of the convergence of the heavenly host and earthly host. As of that time, you will not know who is man and you will not know who is spirit. Are you getting the point? In some of those places, some people can enter into prophetic dances. It was not their dance, it is the dance of the angels. They are dancing, you join their dance. In that place, sometimes you raise your hands and raise your voice. It was not you. It was an angel with a trumpet in the mouth. When you roared, they thought it was a man that roared. It was a man that is walking in sync with a host that is sent from the heaven. May you not miss the man from heaven that was sent. You will just struggle and struggle and struggle for what men are sent. Angels, that's their job. They are sent to minister to you and to your calling. I notice that as I continue growing in God, growing in my calling, what that angel that can get done was also growing. There are several other men, they are added later. Some come and go, but this one has remained from that time. Say after me, Lord, show me the people you have sent with me. Show me the angels you have sent with me. Yes, sir. There are people sent with you. Don't do what they are supposed to do. Do your own. Leave it for them. Do your own. Leave it for them. One of our pastors sent me a vision in hand during yesterday's session. He said as the session ascended, suddenly he saw a mighty angel standing. He was carrying a very big bowl. He said that this angel is the angel of incense. So the angel of incense is in this meeting. He said he was crying. Where is the incense? Where is the incense? I heard incense will be available in this meeting. Where is it? That's what the angel is saying. I heard incense will be available in this meeting. We heard it from heaven. So they sent the man. He said, come and stand here, collect incense. And in the night, somebody slept without praying. In the morning, you didn't pray. Meanwhile, the angel of incense is standing and saying, where is the incense? We heard incense will be available. Where is your own? Add your own. 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 Hold hands with your neighbor for just 1 minute. Add your own, 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 add your own. That's the way to be recognized in the spirit. There is a specific aroma that your incense has, man of God. I see the people, they are praying very hard, they understand this. Sister, cry! We are the people you are sending with us. You can't allow me to go alone. You can't allow me to go back. The work you are sending me to do in this family, doing this territory, so is too hard. We are the fellow laborers. We are the angels. We are they. We are there. There is an angelic assignment going on. God is allotting angels to people. He is activating the angels around you. Some of these angels have stayed around you for long. They have never gone to work. But from now, they are going to work. They are going to work. They are going to work. I see them moving everywhere. If you are following us online, they are going to work. When you are here, when you are here, when you are here, not first. When you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here,
when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here,
sustain,
when you are here, 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 you can feel them, they are touching you, they are touching you, they are touching you. They want you to be aware that here, they are touching you. That's why they are touching you. They want you to be aware. Oh, angels, touch them, touch them. They want you to be aware. Touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them. When you are here, 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 when you are here. When you are here, 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 when you are here. You can't leave this conference the same, Pastor. There is an angel the Lord has assigned to you. He will begin to walk from today. When you are here, when you are here, when you are here. Sometimes when we pray and ask God for something, He will wonder, this is what this angel I gave you is supposed to do. Why are you still praying for it? When you are here, 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 when you are here. Oh, I feel them. When you are here, when you are here, when you are here. When you are here, 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 when you are here. When you are here, when you are here, in Jesus. Yeah, the ones you sent with us. Oh my God. Oh my God, we are they, we are they. The ones you send with us, we are they. Let them come in their ranks and numbers. Let them come and stir the waters. Let them come and stir the possibilities. Let them come. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God.
I know you are here. 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 Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Yeshua is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. So you keep calling me. You keep calling me. Oh well. Deeper into you. Deeper into you. Oh well. Oh. You keep calling me. You keep calling me. Oh well. Deeper into you. Deeper into you. Oh well. Oh. You keep calling my name. You keep calling me. Oh well. Deeper into you. Deeper into you. Oh well. Holy Ghost, carry me. Oh. 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 I'm not too heavy. Carry me.
In Jesus. Zechariah chapter 4. I see 30 sisters that will receive a touch from the angels. Now, 30. There is a particular sister. The angel of the Lord's presence is touching you. Can you bring them for me? The angel of the Lord's presence is touching you. Oh my God. Angels, move! Bring them for me. There is a commotion in the midst, in the spirit. A mighty commotion. A mighty commotion. It's a commotion. They want to introduce themselves to you. They want to introduce themselves. Ushers, bring them for me. Bring them for me. Bring them. Angels! Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Bring them for me from the choir. Bring them. He's introducing himself. He's introducing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hey, you are hearing it in the air, but now you can touch it. They're introducing themselves. They're introducing themselves. They're introducing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Ushers, bring them. Bring them. I want to touch them.
I will look until I carry strength.
Just maybe 5 more minutes. A man cannot change a rank in the spirit without an angel that is sent to attend to that. There's nothing like a change of rank without a change of angelic guard. It's not possible. There are things that are totally possible within a prophetic environment because of the kind of angels that are there. When God speaks and when men speak on behalf of God, it's actually angels that go and enforce it. Jesus, bless you. You can be seated. Now, I want to talk. Maybe I'll just share one on the infrastructural participation. Number one. If you see that Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the Bible said that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. The first one we will consider is the carriage of the spirit. It's an infrastructure. Spirit transport systems. Many people ask me, Apostle, how do you people pray like this? How do you actually do 24 hours? I want to say something now that probably I've not said before. Maybe it's only my pastors and my people that know this. We don't do 24 hours just because we call for 24 hours. The way we pray, you can't survive. Those days in the beginning, when we started 24 hours, we started with 18. We tried, we labored, everybody died that day and woke up. I prayed, fell to one side. I was hugging. Some of you have seen the picture. I was lying one place with my socks, so dated. We labored. I don't know how we ended up. At some point, we played video. Many of you remember that time? God. We even played video just for the thing to pass. We are just waiting out the 24 hours. Until one day, God asked me and said, don't you know that there is a vehicle that carry people? We started praying for it. That's when we developed the idea of praying to pray. You know, many people gather for a long stretch meeting and then everybody is down. Not knowing that if you want to prepare for a stretch meeting, you prepare for a stretch meeting with a stretch meeting. Like you prepare for prayer by praying. How can you call people, 50% of them many times, 70% is struggling with 30 minutes, and even the 30 minutes they cannot pray, and all of them gather together there hoping that God will help everybody, and you that is the man of God that called the prayer is also coming hoping that God will help all of you together? I'm not saying God cannot help, but if there is no mercy, you might stay in that meeting and not find help. There is help. But how do you find it? Are you with me now? Are you with me? So when we started praying that God should help us to pray, the first thing that God introduced to us is the carriage of the Spirit. What we saw,
You can remember in one of those 24 hours that I think in 2020, we saw an aircraft appeared. If you can hear me, say amen. Some of you, you might have heard in my message when I would normally say the first flight have left. Some people actually think I'm just using cliche. Many of the words I use during prayer is what we have learned and mastered in the spirit. It is not just words. It's what we know, and it is happening at that moment. How many of you have heard me say that, and you have wondered, what is this man saying? It was in one of those sessions. That's how we are able to last with long prayer. You don't do it. You cannot motivate yourself. You can't motivate yourself and discipline yourself into praying like that for 24 hours. You will end up in the hospital if they show you mercy. Something carries you. Prayer, carry me. Carry me. There is a vehicle can carry you. You are heavy, but it will just be carrying you. You'll be struggling. There are people here, they are still struggling. The thing is shaking them. The gravity of prayerlessness for 25 years is still on the ground. 10 years prayerlessness, 5 years. 6 months, they have not really prayed. They have not broken the clouds of darkness in the spirit and ascended the heights of God. But the thing is shaking. It's like an aircraft is trying to break gravity. We saw the aircraft, and God said, I send this aircraft to carry you people. If not, you won't make it. Then he will bless you. Carry me. Carry me. Carry me. Say after me. Carry me. Say after me. Spirit, carry me. It is the spirit that carried Ezekiel. He lacks the capacity to appear. You know, we are talking about the things of the spirit. Just because you want to appear doesn't mean you can appear. You don't even know where. Even if you know, you don't know how to get there. What they do is, can you find yourself inside the transport system of the spirit? Once you enter there, you keep going. They carry you. Somebody came and asked me. He said, Apostle, why is it that when you pray in the night, when people should be getting tired, that you now said you love prayer? Are you trying to intimidate us? I said, God in heaven bears me witness that what I'm saying is true. Do I look? Have you ever seen me say something? Do I look like somebody that doesn't mean what I'm saying? With everything in me, I mean it. I love that prayer. I'm enjoying it. I enjoy prayer. I enjoy it. Brother, don't say it until you are carried on. If not, these people will hold you down. They know you. They know you like your bed in the night. Somebody will buy you. They will buy new bed sheet for you, Pastor. Big duvet. Cover you. You can forgive me if I say that a pastor that a big duvet covers every night, that his destiny is probably covered. Big duvet, just cover yourself and do. Ela go. Let fire burn anything covering your prayer life in the name of Jesus. Say after me, prayer must enter me. Say after me, something must carry this, my destiny. Say after me, my destiny is heavy. I need something to help me carry it. Listen. Father, I consecrate this place as a Holy Ghost zone. And I ask that these sisters that is introduced to the realm of the angelic and supernatural, let there be a confirmation upon their life as I stretch my hands towards them.
as I stretch my hands towards them, as I stretch my hands towards them, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, from my left to my right, 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 touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them. Confirm your walk in them. Confirm it. 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 Listen, I want to just read one scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. And then we'll go. Thank God you must be carried. You don't know how heavy your destiny is. That's why you are trying to drag it with human plans and tactics.
Carry me. Carry me. Carry me. Carry me. Carry, 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 carry me, carry me, carry me, Spirit, carry me, carry me, Holy Ghost, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me.
Prayer can generate this, you know. For he received from God a father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Next verse. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I would have unpacked this a little, but because of time, let me just go to the final verse. Can we read this final verse together? One. Can you get me another translation? A translation that called this place that is moved, they call it carried. Can I get a translation? Can I get a translation? Can I get a translation? Can I get... This is the only translation you have. Oh, Adulam, oh, secret place. For no prophecy was produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Remember, we are considering the things that surround a prophetic environment, and we started looking at the infrastructure. One of it is the carriage of the Spirit. According to this scripture, if a man is not carried and spoke, that means it's not God that spoke. Holy men spake as they were carried. Ask your neighbor, have you been carried now? Have you been carried? Have you been carried by the Holy Ghost? Have you been carried? You can't do this thing normal. No wonder when Elijah was speaking in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, called a few people together. Called his servant with him and went to the mountain. After he slaughtered the prophets of Baal, he came and told Ahab that I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Then he went to pray. He went to pray. Prayed the first time as we discussed yesterday. Prayed the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. It was at the seventh time that he saw a small hand in the skies. And he said, go and tell Ahab, the rain will stop you. And this is what the Bible said. As Ahab was running to the gates of Jezreel with the best horse in Israel, the Bible said that Elijah came and tied his waist. And There must be something here. He tied it now. Pastor Tony, your mother, did your mother have any wrapper at all? Your mother had wrapper. How does your mother tie her wrapper? How many of you have seen wrapper before? You have seen wrapper? Raise your hand. How do you tie wrapper? First thing you do, what do you do? If you don't spread your legs, when you tie it, you can't move. Oh yeah, wherever you are, stand up, spread your legs. Spread it like this. We need to get up our loins, tie wrapper. Listen. This is how old women tie their wrapper. They put their leg like this. And the Bible said he girded his loins. He took the wrapper and tied it as his legs were stretched forward. There is something he's carrying. Is that mantle? Is that thing he's carrying? That's what he finally dropped for Elisha. When the time to be carried came, he tied it on the waist. I called my people and told them, there are many ways you can pray. But I told them, now you will pray by a mantle. You can be carried. There are many ways. You say, I want to pray today. But you can be carried. That's what Elijah represents. That's why James said, Elijah is a man of like passions. But he prayed. We found out how he prayed. He tied his waist. He tied it. Hold your neighbor. We are going to. I know you are praying because I know. Hiya oh, hiya oh, hiya oh, hiya oh, hiya oh. Listen. The prayer is simple. I need to be carried to where I will speak, and something will change. You say, holy men speak as they were carried. If you are not carried, your words are mere words. If you are carried, you speak, things change instantly. And the Bible made us understand from the life of Elijah that when a man prays, he generates what wins. He generates that carriage. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I don't know where you are going. I was flying. Listen. I was flying to Lagos one day. And they said that we are 33,000. I mean, how many thousand above sea level? I was going to Zambia. I thought it's all the same. But I checked. The Zambia, when we are going to Zambia, it was 40,000. I said, oh. So everybody can fly at different heights. Tony, where is your aircraft flying? It can be flying close to the building. It can be very, very high. Even if it's high, it can be what? It can be higher. Say after me, Lord, as I pray, carry me higher. Where we speak, and my words will create and change things. Lift up your voice and pray in the next 2 minutes.
Okay.
God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edubu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edubu Dejiku. God bless you.